title to today's devotion is He is not here, He has risen. For most people, Easter is a time to go on holiday for a couple of weeks in order to throw off the dark clouds, the cold days of winter, and enjoy the spring sunshine. This year, due to the ongoing restrictions from the coronavirus pandemic that will not take place, it will mean a time of rest but not a time of pleasure. When you think of the Easter story, what or where does your mind turn to? Is it the suffering Jesus endured on the cross, or the triumphant resurrection, or maybe both? I'm reminded of the hymn writer's words. What led the Son of God to leave his throne on high, to shed his precious blood, to suffer and to die? It was love, unbounded love for us, led him to die and suffer thus. The Apostle reminds us in Romans 5, 7 and 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Many folk around the globe have suffered the loss of a loved one through COVID-19. Most of those folk have had to experience unbearable frustration and sadness because they've not been able to visit their loved one in hospital and be with them possibly at the end of their life. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She, knowing her son had lived such a perfect, selfless, pure life, to see him being betrayed by Judas, one of his own followers, and captured. Then for the authorities to seek false accusers, to be so badly treated at his trial, and to suffer such an awful, agonizing death. We recall what the Bible tells us about Jesus' mother, Mary, at the crucifixion. In John 19:25-27, we read, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus, in spite of all he was going through, thought of his mother who was suffering and made provision for her. What Jesus suffered on the cross made provision for all mankind, if they are willing to acknowledge what happened on the cross. Yet we could also ask ourselves, why did not God his Father not intervene? God allowed it to happen. Knowing God's love for his Son was so great, God endured seeing his beloved Son go through all that suffering. But in all that Jesus endured, it was for you and I that God allowed Jesus to suffer. What Jesus did on that cross betrayed his love for mankind. The hymn writer has penned these words to the hymn, There is a Green Hill Far Away. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. One of the first things Jesus said on the cross is recorded in Luke 23:33-34. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is the key to Jesus releasing mankind from sin. It is forgiveness. That is the first step we have to make to become a follower of Jesus and to know we have eternal life. We have to ask Jesus for forgiveness for all our past sins. We read in Luke 23:33-43, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The message of the gospel, the good news of eternal life, is well illustrated by what transpired while Jesus was on the cross. We've just read that there were two other criminals hanging on the cross, either side of Jesus. The one criminal was unrepentant, but the other criminal realized he had done wrong. He was willing to acknowledge he had sinned. Jesus, while suffering an agonizing death, forgave him, assuring him of a home in heaven, as recorded in Luke 23:42-43. Then he, the criminal, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Just like those two criminals, we have the choice as to whether we choose life or eternal isolation in hell. We read in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not willing anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." The reason why Jesus suffered such persecution, torture, and death was prophesied in Isaiah 53:3-7. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The best news of all is that the death of Jesus on the cross and his burial is not the end of the story. The Bible says in Psalm 30:5, "Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Let us see what happened 3 days after Jesus was crucified. We read in Matthew 28:1-10. "After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Let's read about that triumphant event in the words written by the hymn writer Robert Lowry. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Saviour. Waiting that coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Saviour. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Let us hear what the Apostle Paul says about the resurrection in Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15, 50-58. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. I would now like us to cast our minds back to those hours Jesus spent with the disciples in the upper room, just prior to his death. John's Gospel gives us the most vivid picture of what transpired in the upper room. John tells us what Jesus said to the disciples, preparing them for what was soon to happen. In conclusion, Jesus prayed for them. They then sang a hymn before going to the garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus earnestly prayed to his Father before being taken captive. During that time in the upper room, Jesus took bread and broke it, and also poured wine into a cup, and offered both to disciples. In Matthew 26:26-30 we read, While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Apostle Paul encourages all God's people to participate in this special remembrance. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26 we read, For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, After supper he took the cup, saying, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please note what the apostle said, "until he comes." Jesus is coming back to take his church home, where we will celebrate another supper, and even greater celebration as recorded by John in Revelation 19:6-9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing water, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." My friend, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you looking for that great event when you will meet the Lord face to face and celebrate the great supper of the Lamb? I trust you are. A little while back, we were watching a well-liked program on the BBC called The Repair Shop. Folk can bring along to the repair shop treasured items for repair. In this particular program, a Romanian lady named Margaret brought in a cross that had been broken in half. It was not your usual all-metal cross. It was a mast with beautiful ornate blue and purple jewels. Margaret explained how Germany had invaded Romania when her father was 16 years of age, so he fled to Russia and joined the Russian army. He got shot twice, once through the mouth with a bullet coming out through the side of his face. Then another bullet hit the cross Margaret was holding in her hand, which her father had been keeping in his tunic pocket. This cross saved his life. What a wonderful illustration of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The work Jesus did on the cross is able to save your life if you invite him into your life. If you carry the message of the cross in your heart, knowing that Jesus has died for you, and knowing that Jesus has forgiven you from all your sins, you can know the story of the cross where Jesus was nailed was the means of saving your life. In closing, let us listen to the words of the song written by Graham Kendrick. "For this purpose Christ was revealed, to destroy all the works of the evil one."
To destroy the works of the evil. Jesus, we stand. By the power of his blood, we now claim this ground. Let's proclaim this over the ground of our lives. This lordship, this victory.